well, I am going to be talking about healing. It's God's will.
Well,
and isn't that just amazing? So you're going to get a double dip, triple dip,
triple dip
tonight of healing, and we're going to talk about healing and woo.
Be back.
Hallelujah. Amen. It was not a. How to move the Holy Ghost. That was just feedback. So, amen. Hallelujah. Let me get kind of situated here. And it's really good to really encouraging to have folks where, you know, something happens, we get on the horn and start, you know, communicating with everybody else about what's going on. And I would just, this is something too where, you know, if you don't have, people don't have a church family, who are you going to turn to? Right? I mean, I have people call all the time, well, can you marry us? Or, you know, I've had people in the past, can you marry us? Well, where do you go to church at? Well, I don't. Well, who's your pastor? Well, I don't have one. Okay? I mean, I've done funerals for people. I've done things, and you know, that don't go to church here or something. I mean, I help people because I want to be a blessing. You know, and I do have a heart for people that, you know, if they die and they don't have a church or something like that, I've done, you know, where I've led people to the Lord and they died on a deathbed, and of course they don't have a church family, so what do they do at that point, right? But sure, it's good to have a church family where if something does go sideways, you got some people there to support you, you know? They'd be like, hey, we're going to team up with you, we believe in you, we're going to pray with you, we're going to stand with you. That speaks volumes. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, again, healing, it's the Lord's will. We need to get this on, we need to get this down. I know that majority of us probably convinced of it, but it's good to remind ourselves, right? The Apostle Paul said there in Corinthians, he said, first of all, he planted, which means he, you know, inputted the initial revelation in people often because he was more missionary. He was an apostle. Apollos, which is a gift to teacher, says he went and watered, but who gives the increase? God brings the increase, right? So the word, it goes forth, and we can say you can water it, and that means, what's watering mean? Just over, you hear it again and again. You know, some people say, well, I've heard that before. Well, I've read Genesis before, I've read the book of John before, I've read things before, but when I go back, I get something new out of it. Amen. There's always something new, something, you know, immature people. Adrian used to, when I was in college, I'd sit there and I'd play scales all the time. She's like, are you going to play anything other than scales? I just get tired of listening to scales, right? And I was like, oh. It was boring. It's boring to her, right? But for me, it's like, you know, so when I pick something up, it's just what musicians call and other, you know, as far as like sports or anything like that, it's called muscle memory. What it is your brain is connecting something where you don't think about things anymore. It just becomes natural, right? Military folks get that. Well, you want muscle memory. So when you pull your rifle up, it just you flick the safety off. Everything's natural. Everything's muscle memory. Why do you think those special forces guys practice so much? They know how to work the weapon. It's just getting them so they don't even think about it. It's a reaction, right? It's just when they pull it up, the safety goes off and boom, boom, boom. They don't want to be in a situation where they're like, okay, how do I do this again? Oh, it's jammed. No, it's just everything's automatic to them. And that's what we want to be as Christians. It's just like when the pressure comes, we want to be just like a tube of toothpaste. Whatever's in us is going to come out. It's just a reaction. It just comes out, right? And so in the midst of this craziness in the world, many people wonder where God is at. And this is very, this is, oh my goodness. This is where the religious church And those who are actually faith people, you know, let me just say this. You could call yourself a church, doesn't mean you're believing in anything, right? It doesn't mean that there's faith, there's anything faith going on. Many people, I would just say this, I challenge people, you'll go to places, and the reason why many people go to certain churches is because they have family, they have friends there, they have soul ties there, they've been there, grandpa, grandma, blah, 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 I've gone there forever, they're going there, they like it. They have programs and nothing wrong with programs and things like that. But it's not that how can I get spiritually fed or how can I grow? It makes me feel good, right? It's all about fleshliness. And we go to church shouldn't be, I mean, of course, you have people that support you and care about you and want to help you. But it shouldn't be about how does it benefit. It should be some benefit, obviously. But the point is, it's more fleshly often with some people. And then when the pressure comes, They run to you. They run to me. They run to somebody else who's really has faith or wants to believe, you know, rather than, well, it's just God's will. They're going to die anyway, so let's just get it over with. That's not good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? No, it's not. Right? And so we've been putting up with this garbage for long enough. And so, you know, in this world, we see wars. Obviously, we see sickness. We see hatred. And, you know, the sad thing is we got people and organizations that are unwilling to make this place a better place to live, right? That's just like, we know how what we can do. There's resources there. And the world wants to tell you, number one, there's no resources, right? Everything's scarce. Everything's, you know, that is the biggest, fattest lie ever. If you have a poverty, and that, it's amazing because the same people that are telling you to turn your lights off and we're going to have a global warming and all this other junk are flying around in private jets. Hello, right? And then it's so funny because one of the former, not the last one, but the previous one before that, you know, the first lady, she was going to go get some, and I was laughing so hard, and I thought, you bunch of stinking hypocrites. You know, it's like me bringing cocaine to church and passing out to everybody. It's like such a slap in the face, and they all think that we're so stupid. And so what they do, she went to the market and got a little thing of organic, guacamole. And there was like 10 SUVs that drove her there that burnt probably, you know, 20 gallons of gas, how many blocks to get it. And she was, you know, do a little photo op and everything. And it's like, you people are fake, yeah. Right? I mean, Americans are done with fake, phony people out there. Yeah. They're preaching to you what you need to do while they're living something else. I was laughing at Al Gore one time. They had the national thing and they had a live footage on there, all the people that were calling him out. You know, he's telling everybody that the global warming, we're all going to burn up and everything, which is a complete hoax. It's laughable. And so this clown is out there, you know, goes everywhere in his private jet, you know, telling you need to drive a little dinky rider bike and everything. And then here he is, you know, we're all supposed to cut down and we're all supposed to turn our lights off that night. And he's got a mansion and every light's on. Yep. See, what it is this. You're all supposed to live in poverty in an act and I'm supposed to do without, but they can live high on the hog, right? And that's called a double standard. And there is no lack in this world. I'm telling you right now, there is no lack in this world. It's a fat lie. It's from the pit of hell, right? That's from the Garden of Eden. It was like, well, you know, that's not good enough. All their other trees and everything are good enough. You need this one over here, right? You need this fruit. Do you realize that every person in the world we have only tapped into 1% of the world's resources? You know, but they're going to lie to you and tell you that everything. No, we have plenty of resources. The problem is they're playing games to not get things to you. Yep. Right? That's why the truckers are doing all this stuff and everything. The resources are there. We got plenty of oil. You know what? We have oil reserves in America that will last hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And then by the time that we'll even tap into that, we'll have other resources. We don't even need oil anymore. Right? Because we'll be so far advanced. So, you know, the lie that you listen to all the time is to tell you that you're bad. If you drive things, if you dare to have anything in life, you are evil and bad and terrible. And I'm telling you what, I don't buy that garbage at all, right? Because that is completely unbiblical, right? Because we are supposed to have blessings and have things to make the Hebrews or the Jews jealous, right? We are supposed to have blessings, not only physical things, but also spiritual things. And so what it is, and I know that some preachers have gone off kilter and they've kind of ruined things. We're not talking about the extremists. What we are talking about is that God wants us to be prosperous, right? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than enough. Why does he want you to have more than enough? So you can bless other people. The people that have more than enough are stingy. It's called greed. And there's only one place they're going, and that's Galatians, the 5th chapter, going to hell, right? I'm sorry. That's the truth. But we see that that's the world system. Is the world system is all about getting you to grovel in poverty and be happy with it. Right? Yeah. You should be happy to wallow in pig mud and you should be happy about it, right? Mm-hmm. But don't look at us, right? Don't you know, pull the Wizard of Oz curtain back and look at us or anything. And so we're going to see these things. Matthew 24, verse 3. And Jesus called people out like this, the hypocrites, in the Gospels, he called out these people, right? They were religious folks, and they were government officials and everything else too. He called them out. right? Because he's seeing people that actually have need and they're not being taken care of. And we're seeing religious folks and other people hoarding up riches for themselves. And they're not doing anything with it. They're not being productive at all. And it's a game. Matthew 24, verse 3, and it says, and this is Jesus, and they're talking about the end times. And the reason why I'm talking about healing today and going through this is because, number one, we've got to have a mindset of what the world system is, and we've got to segregate ourselves from that. Do you understand? We cannot have a mindset. We've got to understand the world's mindset, and we need to understand where God is as compared to the world's mindset, okay? The religious folks come in, and they say that God is into all of these things, and he's doing all these bad things. And so how are you going to believe? My argument is this. How are you going to believe from healing from God when you think he's the cause of many problems? Yeah. I mean, you can't. You cannot do that, right? Right. And so verse 3 says, and it says, I'm reading the Living Bible, and then I'm going to switch to the King James. I'm going to explain why and the rest of it, okay? But I like the Living Bible, and let me just say this. It's not the Living Bible. It's actually it's actually a paraphrase, okay? So the Living Bible is not an actual Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. It's not an exact translation. It's somebody that's taken the Bible and they've done a paraphrase. Same with the Message. The Message is not a Bible. It's a paraphrase, guys. What it means is this: they haven't gone into that and actually translated it. They've just taken it and then just paraphrased it or interpreted what their thought is. Okay, and that's some interesting reading. We can't base doctrine, on it. So this is the reason I'm going to explain here in just a minute. Just hold on. Verse 3, it says, and you're going to know when we get into this, but it says, when will this happen? The disciples asked him later, talking to Jesus, as he sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, what events will signal your return and the end of the world? Okay, I'm just telling you right now, Jesus will return.
Amen. That's right.
Okay, there's a lot of flakes out there that are saying the rapture is going to happen. I saw these hucksters one time, these hilarious people talking about these. Let me just say this. To be a scholar, it takes a scholar to screw up the Bible, right? It takes a scholar to screw everything up. And same with, going back to school right now, and it seems like it takes the academics to make something simple confusing. I don't know. I need to soak my head in ice water. But it says, what events will signal your return to the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone fool you, for many will come claiming to be the Messiah and will lead you many astray. When you hear of wars beginning, are we hearing wars? We've been hearing this for all ever, it seems like. This does not signal my return. These must come, but the end is not yet. The nations and kingdoms of the earth will rise against each other. We're seeing that, right? And there will be famines and earthquakes in many places. But all of this will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. Then you will be tortured and killed. Wait, I don't want to hear this. Whoa. We don't want to hear this, right? And hated all over the world because you are mine. I want to stop right there. Well, let me just finish this part. And many of you shall fall back into sin and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and lead many astray. Are we seeing that now?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many, but those who endure until the end shall be saved. How many's going to endure until the end?
Amen.
That's going to be me,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what does this mean? We also see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, it says what? So the race that was what? Set before us, easily beset us. That we what? Cast off the sins and weight that so easily beset us, right? So what this means, Jesus is setting, he's like, guys, this is a long distance run. This isn't a sprint. I was a sprinter back in the day. All right. I played baseball. So my whole thing was, if it went past, 200 yards, I'm done. I was like, I'm out. Okay. I'm done. The whole cross country folks, I'm like, good. Have it run around with the chickens and cows in the back 40. I am not doing that. Okay. I am just like a bottle rocket. I'm done. Okay. So the whole long distance thing was just like, I don't get this. It ain't happening. All right. I ran baseball. It's like I ran, so many feet to first base, second, third. And by the time I got home, I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
But this is a long distance run. Now, I want to stop here and look at one thing. let me ask this question before we move on. Where is God in all of this? Okay. Why do we not see God so actively involved in this mess? Does Jesus say here any of this is a result of God?
No.
Okay. You don't see him anywhere. Jesus is just simply stating what's going to happen, right? What is this a result of? Well, this is obviously people giving, they are submitting to demonic influences and people are acting out, right? You know, we used to be in Tulsa there, and every morning I'd get up and you'd see there'd be an armed robbery somewhere, right? And people would say, well, how come God let that happen? Well, let me just say this. Somebody probably had a drug addiction, and they went, and the only thing they thought they was going to get them the money that they needed to handle a drug addiction or they needed desperate for money was to go rob a gas station. God did not cause that to happen. Hello? Right? God is not like, I really need $200, and this guy really needs to get it for me, and the only way I can get this money is this guy hold up a gas station. That's not God's plan, okay? I'm sorry, but that's not the will of God. Okay, but you'll have people that will go back and go, why did that happen? Well, because people are stupid. Okay, they just do dumb things. I've done dumb things before, right? And I don't go back and go, oh, God, how come you allowed that to happen? I'm like, I was dumb, right? I mean, it's stupid. Insert teenager. I mean, I was a teenager, did a lot of dumb things, right? I mean, so it wasn't God's will. It was just like, I'm just full of beans and stupid, right? I just didn't know any better. That's all there is to it. And then so verse 15, the King James says, and this is what I like to do. I think it's interesting. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation, it's very important. I don't like the way that the Living Bible said it, but spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the hilltop, or housetop, excuse me, not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return to take back his clothes, and woe unto them where the witch child, and to them which give suck in those days, so those who are going to have babies. But pray ye there that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world in this time, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, therein shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Are we seeing that right now too? Some people, I got the answer, I'm the Christ, I'm this, right? This vaccine, it's just going to be the salvation of everything. You know, it's interesting, I was watching, Kirk Cameron's got those movies, I mean, you've seen the, it's not Monumental, it's Left Behind series, right? So it's a Left Behind series. And I was watching the third one, which it was just happened, and it was like, this is interesting. I was kind of up late, and I was watching that. You know, interesting thing is in the movie, this is made in 2005, I think, but the Antichrist was putting a chemical weapon, a virus, on people. 2005. Interesting, huh? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And that's just like the devil, try to create things to kill a lot of people. Yeah. And let me just say something else, too. Let me just stop right here. It's on the UN website. I've read it myself, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't know this, they want to kill and leave 500 million people on this planet. They want to kill all the rest of us off. That's the plan. Okay? It's called Agenda 21, and it was put out by the UN. And you think I'm crazy? It's out there. It's on the website. Their plan is to kill everybody off and leave only 500 million people alive. Now that didn't work, so now it's Agenda 31, 2031. So they keep pushing it back. Well, it's going to get hindered, okay? Yeah. They're going to have a massive curveball coming in really quick here, okay? And this isn't conspiracy theory. These are facts. They put it right out there so you can see it, right? And their hope was that this virus is going to kill off a bunch of people. You know, I'm really tired of getting up every day and getting on Facebook and seeing 2 to 3 people that I know die every day.
Yeah.
It is, how many people are dying every day? We need help, and we need Jesus to show up real quick.
Right.
I mean, there was one weekend I had within a week, there was like 10 people or 15, it was 15 people that I died. And then by the weekend, there was another 20 people. So within about a week and a half, there was 20 people that I knew, right? Some, there was probably at least half or more than half that were probably my age or younger. And nobody's talking about it, right? It's just like this big thing right in everybody's face. Everybody's dying left and right, but nobody's talking about it. Where are all the news anchors? Hello, all the people, the CNNs and everything. Where are you at now? Where are you at documenting all these people dying from this stuff, right? Nope. Nobody. That's why we need Jesus right now, okay? And I believe that we are going to see the healing revival, not to scare you, but I'm just saying this is the perfect time that God likes to do in the midst of something like this going on where he's our healer. Amen? He's the one that steps in and goes, okay, these evil people did garbage and they tried to do things and they tried to hurt people really bad, but I'm God and I'm good and I'm showing my mercy. And I'm telling you what, we are seeing that right now. Okay? I'm not here to bring fear on you. I'm saying there is a hope like never before. Amen. But the thing of it is, you've got to know the devil's tactics. You can't go around and go, oh, I'm just going to do this stuff. And I'm just going to do everything what everybody says. And I'm not going to do any research or I'm not going to do anything. And I'm just going to believe CNN. I'm going to tell me, when was the last time CNN was right about anything? Or Fox News or any of these other clowns? It's never been done, right? Hello? Right? Like this whole thing with Ukraine and Russia, don't even get me started about that. It's like all of a sudden everything's terrible, awful. But, you know, Ukraine's like the most corrupt country in the world. You know, let me just say this. Go listen to Putin and go listen to his speech that he said right now and not censored by CNN or Fox News or any of this other garbage. Listen to Putin and listen to what he has to say from his interpreter. Listen exactly what he has to say. Right? Just go listen to it. I listened to the whole thing, right? From what he said, and it's going to make sense. And it's not going to be, I'm going to just say something. Putin is not a choir boy. I'm not naive enough to think that. But when you study what Ukraine is, and we are seeing a massive exposure of the lies we've seen, during the Obama administration, how much money they laundered through there. We see Romney's kid, we see Biden's kid, we see Pelosi's kid, Republicans and Democrats, their kids were involved in all this corruption. It's coming out, guys. It is. They're finding all these pockets of people that have been, it's this enormous money laundering operation. It's the most corrupt nation in the world, and it's all been exposed, and they're afraid they're going to get called out. Amen? So that's the whole thing, you know. Study yourself. Don't take my word for it. But first of all, anytime CNN tells you something, I pump the brakes. You know, when George Soros says, we need to do this, it's like George Soros is like, let's see. You worked with Nazis and you sold out the Jews and you're a Jew and you sold these people out. It's like, okay. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Don't be deceived. Look for the truth, all right? But we're going to see some massive exposure going on here, okay? We're going to see some things coming up very, very soon. I believe at some point it's going to be great, amen? And I was coming across some stuff today, and I just thought in my own study, and I was like, I saw some things today that nobody's even talked about. It's like, it blew my mind today, and I'm just like, the plot gets thicker, and God is so good, and he's exposing everything. I'm excited, amen? I am excited, and that's why, listen, guys, the reason I'm saying all that stuff, you're like, oh, you're all political and everything, because the Bible tells us that the world system is lies, okay? When the news media and everything is controlled by people, let me just say this, and Putin was completely right. He's like, the world is ran by Satan worshipers. Yeah. It is true. They control the media, right? Yeah, these people they are demonically possessed. They are absolutely psychotic. And God is good. He's delivering us from this stuff. I'm telling you right now, you know? But here's the thing. When they influence the media and everything, everything that is coming at you is not the truth. It is what they want you to believe. Whether you sit back and you go, you know what? The word is so true. The word is so true. That's why we've got to stick with the Bible, because the Bible gives us the truth, right? You know, that's why the media say, well, you know, I mean, it's okay if boys use girls' bathrooms and girls use boys' bathrooms and blah, 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 everything else too. It's like, come on. We're smarter than this, guys, right? We can see beyond this stuff. So the point is this, that when we see these things, we run to the Bible, we filter everything through the Word of God, and we say, you know what? I'm standing on righteousness side, okay? I don't stand on corruption. And so when we're seeing these things, first of all, God is not involved in all of these things, number one, okay? Jesus is giving a thing. And we're seeing in the end times now. So we're seeing, number one, there's going to be a rapture at some point. I'm taking this rabbit trail because I think it's very important, okay? And the devil, what the devil's been trying to do, he's been trying to push the tribulation early. That's what's going on. You don't understand this. The devil's been trying to push the time frame of tribulation. Well, let me just say something. The devil cannot trigger the rapture. Okay? So the rapture's got to happen at some point, whether you're pre, mid, or post-rapture. What that means is you look it up in Thessalonians. In fact, let's go there. I'm going to go there. Just be at ease here, because let me say that God is in control, all right? And I read all that to say this. We're going to see terrible things happen at some point, but God is going to be in control. The devil doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the authority. He doesn't have the ability to trigger any of this stuff. This is in God's time. There are seven, there are seals in the Revelation, and we see that the one that, who's the one that releases those seals? Jesus. Oh, the devil's going to do this. The devil's going to do this. He has no control over anything, right? The only power the devil has is our people who are blinded, submitting to him and doing what he tells them to, right? That's it. He has no power. He has no authority over us. Where did I say? Thessalonians? Yes, let's look at Thessalonians here. I'm sorry. I'll get the scripture for you. We're getting there. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm on 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I'm like, it says 1 Thessalonians. Never mind. I'm looking at the wrong one. 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me. We'll go to chapter 4. No, there is a chapter 4. Because I'm right there. Okay, I know that much. Right here it says verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are remain and alive unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay? Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, I'm sorry, the devil. Where's the devil at in this? He's not. See, can I just say something to you again? The devil is trying to push things through all this COVID junk and everything else too. He's trying to trigger these things himself to get the Antichrist on, but he can't do it, right? Can't do it because he doesn't have the power to do this stuff. See, then it says here, from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump. I like trump. Isn't that word? Just love that word, don't you? Of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So grandpa and grandma in the grave, they're going to blow out of the grave first. Those of us who remain alive, we're going to follow up. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The devil has nothing to do with the revelation or rapture, does he? He cannot trigger the rapture. At some point, these events that are going to unfold, the rapture will happen. And who has control of that? God, the Father. He'll tell Jesus, all right, it's time to go. Let's do this. The devil has no ability to do any of these things. So what I'm saying is this. Number one, all of this junk that's happening, it's going to be the result of the enemy trying to do something. He's trying to get his version of Jesus on the scene. God has nothing to do with all these terrible things that are happening. That's all the devil. God has nothing to do with these things. Now, what's God's plan? His plan is for this world to be evangelized, for people to get born again, saved, healed, delivered, right? My faith is not in a COVID vaccine. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I thank God for doctors, But my faith is not in doctors. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Doctors are helpful, but it all comes down to who is my faith. That's where faith comes in. God wants our reliance to be on him. And so that's number one. Many people are sitting there saying that, you know, well, it's all God's fault. Let's look at Psalms chapter 107. Psalms 107. So again, where is God in all this evil? He's not. In order for us to receive from the Lord, we must understand his character first. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he what? Saved them out of their distresses. God is here to save you out of your distresses, guys. Verse 20, he sent his word and what?
Healed
them and delivered them from their what? Destructions. God is out to rescue us.
Yes, amen.
God is on, he is on a rescue mission for us. He's on a rescue mission for this world. If we can just get to through our thinking that this world system wants to bring you down, we've seen that. It is proven. You are a slave to them. But why? Because they are demonically influenced and the devil wants to enslave us from the beginning. And he's using people to pull that agenda out. You know, when people want to control you all the time, run from them. Right? Oh, don't look here, don't look here, don't look here. Right? And you know what, I'm always to say, you know what, you don't have to, you can leave this church and not believe a single word that I say, but if it's word, then you got to come back to God. You got to answer to God for it. Amen. 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 I've been around insecure people before, you know. It's like, hey, you don't have to agree with me, right? But you better have scripture to back it up. Better have something we can talk about, yeah. Right? And then at the end of the day, it's on you with God, right? I'm just a messenger here. So let me ask you this. Why would God create destruction and then deliver us from us? You notice how God is on one side? He's not. It talks about destruction is there, but he comes down and he rescues us from the destruction. He doesn't create the destruction and then deliver us from us, right? Like politicians, they want to create problems and then come in with the fake solution, right? God's not like that. There's destruction out there. He didn't cause the destruction, but he came to deliver us or pull us out of destruction, right? But, you know, many Christians adhere to that, oh, well, you know, God's creating these things and you hear all this other garbage. And you know, you've been around here long enough, we know that. But God is on one side. He's on the side of deliverance, freedom, and peace. Let me ask you this. What is heaven like and what is hell like? Hell like is all about bondage and control and torture and mockery and fear. And heaven is all about freedom, peace, love, you know. There's no bondage there. There's nobody controlling you whatsoever. God's original plan for us was never to have government, right? There was Adam and Eve, and it was just like, hey, this is freedom.
Yep.
Now, eventually, he had to institute it just because had to have some kind of order. Because why? Because we had sin entered in, and you had to have some kind of order. But in heaven, what order is there? I mean, it's just everybody. There's love. There's peace. So you can see the nature of God in heaven and the characteristics of each. I'm gonna run with God. Matthew chapter 9. I know we're going kind of late tonight. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is freedom tonight. I'm telling you what right now. When you can sit back and I can identify a tyrant right away.
Yes.
You know? When you start getting in the Word and you can identify a tyrant, you can, you know, all those people that I've been around, you know, churches before, people, you know, that they'll come to church and they'll fake, oh, praise God and everything. And then they try to control you and they try to control other people. And it's like, you can say praise God all day long, but you're from the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't put lipstick on a pig. You know what I'm saying? You can church things up as much as you want, but when you're trying to control people and manipulate people, it's like, all right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, and Jesus went about, here we go, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There was nothing Jesus didn't do. But when he saw the multitudes, here we go, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus had compassion on people, right? The thing that gets me fired up the most is I see people that are held in bondage, right? From religion or whatever, but you know, you got to do this, and you know, people coming out, and you have to take this, or you don't do this, you're not going to work here, and everything. It's like, what? I'm sorry, was this America?
Yeah,
amen. I mean, do I need to goose step? What's going on here, right?
Yeah.
I'm free. You're free, right? You can go where you want to. Do what you want to, right? Within, when the Bible says that you have liberty when you walk in love with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. He didn't see, you know what? It's easy to get mad at people in the world, but Jesus saw them as a harvest.
Amen.
And how did he reach the harvest? Through healing people.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Giving them, preaching the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The gospel and the good news is, you know what? You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to have a poverty mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to beat yourself up all the time. I mean, Jesus redeemed you from that. I don't have to have a sin consciousness. What is a sin consciousness? A sin consciousness is when you're so focused on your mistakes that you can't receive the blessings and the freedom Jesus gave you.
Amen.
When you're living in fear, you're living in condemnation. Oh, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy. You're right, you're not worthy for Jesus.
Yep.
But that's righteousness, because righteousness comes along and he positions you in a place you don't deserve, right?
Right.
It just comes back to like the prodigal son. The prodigal son took the money. He blew it all. He wasted it all. He didn't deserve to come back. What'd the father do? Gave him what he didn't deserve.
Amen.
Positioned him as what? Sonship, when he should have been a servant.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. And I'm really not apologizing for any of it at all. I'm telling you right now. So, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oppression, sickness comes from the devil. Acts 2:21, I'm going to blaze through these. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. What does saved encompass? Saved encompasses salvation. That means freedom from hell. You don't have to die and go to hell, right? We are free from spiritual death. We are free from poverty. We're free from sickness, right? We have peace of mind. We have provision.
Right.
Salvation, that word, it encompasses everything Christ did for us. I think of it this way. When we say saved, we say the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus encompasses all of the Hebrew names of God within one name.
Amen.
Right? The ways that Abraham knew God in those Hebraic names, and the way that Moses did, Jesus' name encompasses everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one name. It has healing, provision, right? Mm-hmm. My provider, my protector. All of those things are in the name of Jesus, right?
Amen.
I'm not bound by fear and what the world tries to put on me. Forget it. I don't have to. Right? I don't have to live under your standards. I'm free. I'm a new creature. I'm an alien of this world. That's why people, it's weird, you start talking things like that, and it's like, no, I'm not of this world. I guarantee you, I am literally not of this world, right? That's why we don't get along sometimes, right? Because I am not backing down, and I'm not taking your propaganda. Because Jesus did deliver me, and I don't have to live under your bondage, right? Well, you're going to get infected. You're going to infect all these other people. How is it going to happen? You got to wear this. You got to wear this face mask. You don't take this shot. You don't do this. You don't do this. Right? No, I have more faith in Jesus than I do in your propaganda. It's not going to work with me. Why? Because I believe the word more than I believe you. So there are different ways we can receive from the Lord. We can receive healing from the Lord by what? Calling on his name. See, I like to think of, when I was in prayer school, Jim Hockaday said, man, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way up the mountain. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, what's a mountain? You just get to the top. I can go from the north. I can go from the south. I can go from the east. I can go from the west. I can go from the southwest, the northeast, the north. Right? You don't have to get there the same way. God's not going to lead you to do the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get in a box. He wants you to rely on him. Right? When he told Moses, he struck the rock and there's water come out, he struck the rock. When he came back and did it again, God's like, no, that's not the plan. This isn't a cookie cutter. You just don't do the same thing over and over again. Right? You got to trust in me. It comes back to the relationship, doesn't it? You got to rely on me. Matthew 8, 1 through 10. I'm gonna go through this and then I will overstep the turkey. But Matthew 8, verse 1, and it says, and this is, we already talked about it. Jessica mentioned the centurion. I want to touch on some things. Verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, talking about Jesus. I like this first part because it's really good too. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. What he's saying is, if you're willing to do it, I know you got the ability to heal me. And what did Jesus say? Nope, I'm not. Not my will today. Sorry. You caught me on an off day. Today it's not my will. No, what did he say? He said, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and says, I will. Ooh, I like that. That's so good. I will. Right? Well, how have you been living? Have you done this lately? Have you done this lately? I'm not sure about this. Blah, 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 blah. No, he didn't do that, did he? He's like, yeah, I'm willing. Oh, you bet I'm going to do it. And he said, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Was this person born again? Absolutely not. Probably the guy couldn't even read. So he probably couldn't even read the Pentateuch, right? Couldn't even read the first five books of the Bible. I doubt it. Probably most people back then couldn't read other than just the educated ones like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those are probably the only ones. Maybe some royalty, kings. Probably weren't too many educated people back then, right? There was no Child Left Behind program back then, so that didn't exist, did they? Yeah, that's a huge help. And then he goes on, and as Jesus said unto him, see that you tell nobody. Now that's really great, isn't it? Jesus goes, now put a lid on this, right, whatever. But go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony to them. And here we go. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there was unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now I want to stop here because it depends on what you read. And beseech just means to fervently, you know, push somebody to do something for you, right? Mm-hmm. Push something. Now, the Living Bible, which I don't like this very well. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't like the Living Bible in this scenario. It says that he pleaded with Jesus or pled with Jesus to come to his home. That's not in the King James. I don't agree with that, okay? You can take it, leave it what you want. Now, the important thing is the reason why I don't agree with it is because it was coming next. In verse 6 says, and he's saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick with palsy, with grievous torments. This is King James Version. Now, y'all making fun of me because of King James, but I'm telling you what, I like certain translations over other ones because some will bring the meaning out a little bit better, all right? I'm sorry. I just don't think the Living Bible does a very good job on this one. So you can read it if you want to, you know. Not going to backslide or anything because you read that. I'm just saying, I don't like the way it words it right here. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So Jesus is willing to come to his house and heal him, right? Isn't that amazing? Two for two. Jesus says, yeah, I'll heal you. I don't hear anybody saying it's not his will. Not one person. I can't find. Can you find in the Bible somewhere, Adrian, where it says it's not his will to heal? Where he came and somebody says, "No, not today. I need a nap. I'm eating right now. I'm really busy. You know, I'm watching ESPN right now. You know, no, he doesn't say any of that, does he? I can't find one place in the Bible where it says, and I can't find one place in the Bible where it says anybody speaking in tongues is demon possessed either. I can't find that anywhere. It's just crazy. It's not in there. I can't find it. And besides, we read the scriptures where he heals everybody, right? So not one place in the Bible where it says it was never God's will to heal. Ever. Ever. And the centurion answers and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goes, and another one come, and he comes, and to another servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Truly I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, not even in Israel." What was Jesus moved by? Faith? Somebody who dared to believe? Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. You know what? You've got so much power. You've got the ability and everything. You don't even really need to come to my house and lay hands on or do anything. You know what? I know that whatever you're submitted to, and it's got to be God, when you just speak that word, that power is going to resonate, and it's going to do the job. So we can receive by only speaking the word. Did you know that? See, there's multiple ways for people to receive healing. But number one, got to understand that the world system is not about helping you often. Now, there are good people out there. I'm not saying there's not good people. I'm not saying there's, you know, some government programs that can help people. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the world system. What I mean by the world system is what is influencing the world system. When we rely on God, then we're going to stay straight. We're going to have more peace. Can I just say something? If you're going to put your trust and rely on me, you're going to be disappointed, right? And if I take this right way, if I put my trust in you, I'm going to be disappointed as well. But guess what? If I rely on trust on God, I'll never be disappointed. Isn't that great? I have people I've sat under, and they just, you know, like, oh, they're just the greatest thing, and they're just such amazing ministers, and I mean, they're great teachers, but like, if you trust in God, everything's going to work out, right? Maybe not the way you think it should be, but you're going to have so much peace because you rely on the one that can change situations, not on people and circumstances that will let you down. See, that's why, you know, some people, well, I went to church and they're all hypocrites. Right, because we're all imperfect. And when you hear people say those things, well, I just went to the church and all hypocrites. No, you're putting your faith in people that don't have the ability to make you happy or satisfy you. Because God put it in us that the only way we'll be satisfied is through Him. Amen. It's the way we're wired.
That's right.
Right? I can't put my faith in the government. I would not live anywhere else other than America. It is the greatest country in the world. I love this place. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of problems, yeah. But it is still the greatest. I've been to Africa. Been to some other countries, and I'm telling you what, America is still the greatest place on earth. And God still has plans for America, right? And it's wonderful. Never want to live anywhere else, right? And I believe God is doing some massive things, right? Because I want righteousness. The reason why I get so bent out, that I get so focused on these things is because the Bible says that when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, that He will come and heal our land, right? And when I see people that are going to get healed, born again, set free, see the world system for what it is, and that God can heal us, mm-hmm. that is breakthrough.
Amen.
That's a real breakthrough.
Yeah.
And we're expecting programs or something else. It all comes back to God, and He's so good. So wonderful.
Yeah,
and so when we do those things, and we can, you know what? I'll give you a little hint for next week. Brother Hagin, so we can speak the word only, and what we can receive healing. We can call upon the name of the Lord. And next week we're going to get into our authority. I believe this, and you've got to come back next week to hear it, but I believe this. We're praying for things sometimes when we should be using our authority.
Right.
And we're praying and begging for things. Yeah. The God is sitting back going, I've left it in your court. You're not doing anything about it.
Right.
And I want to say, we the church have let this happen in our country, and this is why we're in a big mess we are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I repent. We as a church should never let these things happen in our country. But I believe, we'll talk more about next week, we need to be using more authority instead of praying all the time. Now, we need to pray. I'm not saying that. We'll dig more into that. But there's a line there where we need to use our authority on things in the spirit realm for God to move on our behalf. Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful people, God. Bless you, Lord, and I thank you so much. Lord Jesus, my prayer is peace upon people tonight. That we, it doesn't matter what the world looks like, everything is falling apart, we see deception all around us. God, you are wonderful.
Amen.
And I just remember Smith Wigglesworth would not let Lester Sumrall bring in a newspaper because that's the devil's news. And the more I hear that statement, the more I believe it every day. And look what Smith Wigglesworth accomplished. Amen? Raised over 20 people from the dead. I don't know how many it was it ended up being. But his focus was completely on God, and he knew that everything in this sense realm was subject to the enemy. But there's something that's not subject to the enemy, and that is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you speaking to you. Amen? Hallelujah. And I want to become more radical for him.
Amen?
Jesus. Hallelujah. May everybody have a great week. Amen. I'm pumped up.
Woo-hoo.
Try to keep dry out there, but we will see you on next Saturday.